Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of a very practical series of studies as we think about reflecting the love of God to those around us, especially to the least of these, ministering to those in need. Today, we're talking about mercy and justice in the Psalms and Proverbs, and no one cares about mercy and justice more than our great and awesome God. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. What's the most important lesson you're learning, team, as we think about ministering to people in need? Most important lesson, anyone, very quickly.
The God.
Yes, Tricia Lee, most important lesson.
God cares about our
God cares about
us.
Us. Who's us?
All of us.
That's right. And what else besides God cares about us? Jason?
God cares about us helping others.
He cares about us in the way we relate to other people. That's what we want to talk about today. And we're glad that we're not just talking about the 13 of us here, but 150 countries around the world, millions of Hope Sabbath School members who are saying, God, how can I extend your mercy and justice to those around me? Here's one note from Terrence in British Columbia. And Addison, you're a BC fellow, so right. I think you may even know Terrence, you said. Yes. Watching Hope Sabbath School every week without fail, he says, I teach a class on a rotating basis in my church, and I use extracts from the Hope Sabbath School outline.
Amen. Amen.
You're doing an excellent work, lifting up Jesus. Keep it up. We'll be praying for each one of the class members, and God bless you. Well, Terrence, we're praying for you, too. We're glad that you're teaching an interactive class there in British Columbia, and we're glad you can be part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's a note, actually from a donor writing from Georgia, and says, here is my monthly donation. So someone's sending something each month. I hope it will help spread the gospel so that Jesus can come soon.
Amen.
That's our goal. You and all the team members are like family to me. I look forward to watching your program every weekend. God's blessings to you all, and a gift for $100 to help Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
You know, someone might say, well, how far can that go? And the answer is, if 1,000 people give, that's $100,000. Mm-hmm. We're all working together, and God is changing lives around the world. And thank you for being part of this miracle called Hope Sabbath School. Here's another note from a Zimbabwean in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Mm. And Nkosi writes and says, greetings to my family in Christ, especially to, he's not here today, Simiso. I enjoy when he stands to teach. May the Lord continue to bless you all in the name of Jesus. My name is Nkosi. Now, though, I'm in Johannesburg. Please remember my country when you pray. Some of our brethren have died, but we know our Redeemer lives.
Amen.
And I hope to meet Hope Sabbath School team when Jesus returns. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And then he said, please read a text which says, do not forget the assembling of yourselves together,
Amen.
As the manner of some is. Well, thank you, Nkosi, for writing to us from Zimbabwe. We will pass on your greetings to Simiso. Here's a note from Theodore in the Bahamas. Greetings in the name of Jesus to the Hope Sabbath School team. I am a kidney dialysis patient and blind in both eyes.
Wow.
But I enjoy studying Hope Sabbath School with you all. God is doing major things here in the Bahamas. Continue to pray for us as we pray for you and your families. Maranatha. From Theodore. Well, Theodore, I'm just so thankful that even though you're unable to see Hope Sabbath School, that you can hear the message and join with us in an in-depth, interactive
Amen.
Study of the Word
Amen.
Of God. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, someday God is going to make all things new.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Here's one last note from Michelle in Anguilla. That's an island, isn't it? In the
Caribbean.
In the Caribbean. I'm actually a medical student, writes Michelle, on the island of Anguilla in the Caribbean. I watch Hope Sabbath School every week. I've been telling other medical students about the program.
Amen.
Thank you for Hope Sabbath School. Well, we're excited because you're going to be, Michelle, a medical missionary, not just skilled in the medical profession, but with the love of Jesus in your heart. And we're just glad for each one of these emails. If you haven't written to us or you haven't written to us recently, you can write to sshope@hopetv.org. We're always delighted to hear from you and see how the Word of God is impacting your life and blessing those around you. Right now, we'd like to sing the Word of God together. Our scripture theme song for this series on the least of these is from 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5 and 16. And the more we sing it, the more it impacts me. Now may the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God. Let's sing it together.
Direct your hearts into the love of God, and may the Lord direct your hearts into the patience of Christ. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and everywhere. The Lord be with you all. Amen. To the love of God, and may the Lord direct your hearts into the patience of Christ. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen and amen.
You know, I was just thinking, if you're with some friends and when you leave, instead of just saying, have a great week, what if you said, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God?
Amen. Amen.
They might go, whoa. But what could happen to our hearts if they were directed into the love of God? Could it not transform us?
Yes.
We're talking here about mercy and justice, specifically studying in the Psalms and Proverbs, which will bring us into that close relationship with him where we will show his love to the least of these. That's what this series is about, ministering to those in need. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what an exciting journey to be on, to let your love, your mercy, your justice flow through our lives so that we can minister to those in need. Lord, not to earn your favor or certainly not to try to earn your love, but because you have loved us with an everlasting love and we love you and want to be your witnesses in this hurting world. So guide us in our study today. We pray for each Hope Sabbath School member around the world in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
3,000 years ago, a collection of psalmists composed scripture songs. The most famous of them was named?
David,
right? The psalmist David. In fact, some people think that he wrote all of the scripture songs in the five books of Psalms, but he wrote most of them. Can you think of any others who wrote scripture songs that were in the books of Psalms?
Agur.
Asaph. All right.
Asaph.
Okay. And? Moses wrote one.
Solomon wrote one.
We may find some, and some of them don't have a name attached to them. Mm-hmm. But we believe the Holy Spirit guided the gathering of these scripture songs together. We're talking about ministering to those in need, caring about people in need. And the Psalms and the Proverbs have a great deal to say on this theme. So let's start by looking in Psalm 9. Now, I like Psalm 9 because 1 and 2... I sing at a house of prayer every week. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. But let's start, Stephanie, in verse 9 of this same scripture song. And let's see what David tells us. Psalm 9, verse 9.
All right. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble.
Now, I have a question. Is the psalmist speaking about himself here or about others?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Read further.
Did Do you know the experience of David? Were there times he needed a refuge?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Especially when who was chasing him?
Saul,
the king, right? Who disconnected from God and was just trying to silence David in spite of all God had done in and through David, okay? So yes, it was for him, but for anyone who's oppressed too. Let's keep reading in that psalm, Tricia Lee, in Psalm 9, verses 13 through 20. We're talking about songs of hope for the oppressed. Verses 13 through 20 of Psalm 9.
Reading from the New King James Version. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men.
Does it surprise you that he starts out by saying in verse 13, have mercy on me, O God, consider my trouble. And in just a few seconds, he's like, I'm just praising you, God. What's the correlation between, Lord, I need help, and praising him, praising God?
He knows God is strong enough to help him.
So he's being honest about his need,
yes,
but he's not focusing on his problem, right?
No.
He's focusing on God right, being able to help him. And there's another beautiful insight in Psalm 50 and verse 15, which reinforces that same message. Psalm 50 and verse 15. And Laurel, if you'd read that for us. And actually, is this not the word of the Lord that the psalmist is recording? How does it read in your Bible?
Okay. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me.
Is David saying call upon him?
No.
No, he's recording a revelation from the Lord, right?
Right.
Call upon me, the Lord says, in the day of trouble, and I'll rescue you, is your translation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you will do what?
The Lord.
Honor me.
You'll honor me, okay? Someone have a testimony. We're talking here about God showing mercy and showing justice. When you called upon the Lord and he showed mercy to you. Eric.
Recently I was traveling out of the country and I was driving a rental car and I got pulled over. Now.
You were in another country.
I was in another country. Now, I left my passport on the bedside table and told myself, I don't really need to take it with me. So, and I was in a country where they only speak Spanish, and I don't speak any Spanish. Thankfully, I had a friend with me who spoke Spanish. Now, we get pulled over. She starts panicking. I'm not panicking because what's the worst that could happen? Yeah, you know,
you could go to prison. But apparently, you're not there for long because you're here on Hope Saturday.
So she walks out and goes to talk to the police officer, you know, trying to get him to understand. No, it wasn't that we were just being reckless or anything. It's, you know, I was trying to get away from a bad situation, you know, behind me. And at some point, I realized it's taking too long, and I can't imagine that it's going very well with them back there. And I remembered I need to pray. Like, in a situation like this, this is the time when I need to pray. So it just in the middle of the road, somewhere outside of the road, I just said a quick prayer. Within a minute, maybe less, she was back in the car, and the police officer didn't even care that I didn't have a passport. So I just go enjoy the sunset where it was in the evening, and far away from home. And I realized at the moment when I started my prayer, I could almost see the police officer, you know, his demeanor change. And he just softened and let us go.
So we'd like to know what he prayed, right?
Lord help. Or help.
You know, at this point, the Holy Spirit helps us know how to pray,
Amen.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So anyone else have an experience where you just felt like God, it's interesting, God delivered you by encouraging you to do what he's already asked you to do,
yeah.
which is call upon me in the day of trouble. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else have a testimony you'd like to share? If not, I want to ask this question, Tricia Lee. Mm-hmm. I'll let you share, and then the question to follow will be, a friend comes to you and says, I'm still waiting. I've called out to God, and I'm still waiting for deliverance. What would you say to her in that situation? Mm-hmm.
This was another kind of similar situation in a car, but it was more of an accident that was happening, and it was... It was Christmas Eve, and it was late at night, raining, it was dark. I'm sure I was going too fast that I should have been at the time. I'm a much better driver now. But this car spun out of control. It was just spinning and spinning and spinning. This is on like a 3 or 4 lane highway. Mm-hmm. First, it was a miracle that no other cars hit me or that I didn't hit any other vehicles. But I remember just calling on the name of the Lord when I realized I had no control over the steering wheel at this point. And there were some other friends from college in the car at the time. Oh. And we were just swinging both directions across the highway. We were about to cross the median to go to opposite side of the highway. And I just remember just grabbing on the wheel and squeezing, turning this way, because I didn't want to go into opposite side. I'd rather go off the road. And just calling out Jesus. Eventually, we finally stopped. I remember when we stopped, we were now facing the cars coming at us, a big truck and a bus. They were all able to stop before hitting us. Mm. When we got out of the vehicle and looked at all the damage that had been done to this vehicle, to the highway, to the road, there were these big blocks of cement that holds the railing in place. We lifted out about 3 or 4 of those out of the ground. And my mother came and some other church people came to come pick us up. The fire department came. They were all very shocked that we were okay and alive. And when we saw all the damage that was done, like my dad said, your guardian angel was with you. Mm. And it was just literally a time of there was nothing to do but call on Jesus. And we know he saved our life in that time. With all the damage that was done to the vehicle and the whole road, it was nothing but God. None of us had a scratch. We were all okay. And we're all, you know, here today because the Lord saved us that night.
Mm. How do we know what prayer to pray in that crisis situation? You've only got a millisecond, Addison. Mm. How do you know what prayer to pray?
Whatever the Holy Spirit brings to mind.
Right. It may just be,
Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
Yeah.
It might be a one-word prayer.
Yeah. Maybe a one-word prayer that comes from the heart. Mm. You know, when Peter was sinking, Lord, save me. So we don't need to think about, well, what kind of prayer, how eloquent should it be? You know, we cry out with our heart, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God wants to show mercy. He's not hiding from us, is he?
No.
What about a person, Stephanie, she says to you, Stephanie, that sounds great, but I've cried out to God and I haven't seen the deliverance yet.
Mercy.
What would you say to her? Maybe someone's watching today that's in that situation.
And I think that's very real. Many people pray for years. Whether it's a bad relationship, or it may not be a car situation, but it's an extended prayer, mm-hmm. health for whatever reason. I think we first need to acknowledge the fact that it's painful, the situation that they're in, mm-hmm. and to recognize that it is not God's will that they're in the middle of that. But I would encourage them to keep looking to Jesus, mm-hmm. and be open for what God leads them to do. Because I think often, I know for myself, I'm praying towards a certain end. Mm. And I'm praying that the Lord will reveal his answer this way. Mm-hmm. God, do it in my box and in my time frame. And these are the people that need to be involved. And God says, but my plans for you are so much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So enjoy the blessing of what I have in store for you now through this challenging mm-hmm. experience.
That sense of being empathetic mm-hmm. and yes. not minimizing the struggle that they're going through. And take Gladys's comment, then we need to move on.
Yes, I was saying don't give up. Don't give up praying. My sister had disappeared for 6 years. And
disappeared for 6 years?
Yes, and my father never gave up praying. I would say for myself, I will give up hope. I would say that's it. There's nothing else to do. She will never come back. And one day, it was just out of the blue. You know, a phone call came and said, I know where she is. Wow. And one thing led to another. And now, after 6 years, she's back with us. So the Lord has a plan. Mm. And sometimes, you know, we give up before the great deliverance comes.
So you'd say, don't give up. Could I also say, don't give up praying, and I'll join with you in praying?
Yes, in prayer. Yes, definitely.
We could join together, Evelyn? Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a verse in Psalm 42, verse 5.
Would you like to read it for us?
Yes.
Give us a moment to find it before you start reading.
I'll repeat it again. It's Psalm chapter 42, verse 5.
Psalm 42 and verse 5. On this theme?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're talking about how we're feeling, sometimes we're feeling cast down. That's the way that the psalmist writes it. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And here's the solution. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. In other words, we're encouraged to wait for God to interact with us, to wait for God to work in our lives, to figure out that situation.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the greatest needs that we have and people around us have is the need to feel forgiven.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
To feel clean again. Mm-hmm. Let's look at a prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 51. We're going to look at, we could read it all, but I'm going to ask Addison if you'd read the first four verses for us. Does anybody know the context of this prayer? What has just happened that he's really asking forgiveness for? Joshua?
After he had become involved with Bathsheba and killed her husband and...
So he's been guilty of
adultery, murder,
and murder, and
lying,
deception.
Deception, yeah.
And his heart is heavy.
Yes.
Let's read, Addison, the first four verses of this scripture song, but it's really a prayer song, isn't it?
And I'm reading from the King James Version. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest.
What do you hear in his words?
Tears.
What do you hear?
Tears. You're crying out.
Crying out?
Guilt.
Guilt?
Sincerity.
Sincerity.
Yes. Yeah.
He's not saying, but Lord, I'm, you know, this person was really leading me on. No excuses. Right?
Right.
Well, there's someone down the road who did worse things. No. There's this sincerity crying out to God. He continues praying. Jason, could you read for us still in Psalm 51? Verses 7 through 12.
7 through 12? I'll be glad. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit.
You know, Amen. While Jason was reading, I imagined David with tears streaming down his face. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Amen.
Now, what evidence do we have from the scripture? By the way, did David have any scriptures? Was there any Bible when David lived?
No.
Yeah, there's some, right?
There's some. Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. The books of Moses, right?
Yeah, sure,
but
yeah.
Not all of the scriptures had been written, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he knows some, but we have the whole scripture, right? The Holy Spirit has spoken through the prophets and most clearly through Jesus. So what evidence do you see in the scripture that would say, it's okay, David, God will forgive you. You're crying out, you know, cleanse me, create in me a clean heart, O God. Stephanie, is there a scripture that comes to your mind that you would you would say, maybe it's not David now, maybe it's a friend, John or Susan, that you say, there's promise in the Word that when you ask Him to forgive you, He will.
1 John 1, 9.
1 John, that's right before the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at that together. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. This is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. It's the same John who recorded the revelation of Jesus Christ. But here's a beautiful promise in 1 John 1, and you'll read verse 9?
Yes. And the King James Version says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Another, do you want to comment on that, Alex, or do you have another verse that you'd like to share?
I have another verse as well.
Okay.
Micah 7, 19.
Micah, so here we're going to a Hebrew prophet. Yeah. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. So here David, without an awful lot of scripture available, is saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I'm looking. Micah's in here somewhere, isn't it? Chapter 7 and verse 19.
19, that's right.
And what translation are you reading from?
I'll be reading from the King James Version. And it reads, He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And that will cast all of their sins into the depths of the sea.
Amen. Wow, that's a beautiful promise. Thank you for sharing that. I will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Anyone like to share a time when that prayer was your prayer? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. How many of us here have asked God for forgiveness for something? Okay. Is there someone wants to share a testimony when that prayer really became the cry of your heart? Yes, Jason.
Yeah, so I make it my daily devotion to actually put this within my prayer, you know, as far as reading the scripture, Psalms 51. But it really became a reality because I, too, succumbed to adultery. And I really felt King David to, you know, that crying moment when you just felt like you just lost the grace of God. It just went from you. And to come to a point where you felt like you've done so much wrong that you can't come back. So I started reading the story of David, you know, and reading the scriptures and started getting encouraged. And that Psalms 51, just one words, it became reality to me that God would cleanse my heart and created me a new spirit, you know. So I really appreciate, you know, not to say that he had to go through it, but I appreciate just the words he actually uttered. And I made it my own.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing what God does when the scripture becomes the word of God to your heart?
Yes.
It's like it catches fire.
Creative.
And it really, you hear God speaking to you. And Jason, thank you for that testimony. Trisha Lee?
It can be difficult, but also beautiful when we see, like, in the midst of this struggle, I mean, Uriah is still murdered. Where's his justice? Where's his mercy?
Right.
But in the midst of this situation, God is still seeking to save the perpetrator, David. And so sometimes we can find ourselves feeling like victims, feeling like, you know, we're at the receiving end of something really bad or terrible. And yet God can use the whole situation and allow everyone to come out winners, forgiven, cleansed, and clean. And so it's a tough story to read, but look at the life that David is able. Look at the transformation. And so I think the mercy is certainly for him because he did these things. But even if we are experiencing that, sometimes we want the situation to be over so fast. But sometimes there's some bigger story at hand that God is trying to not just save us from the situation, but even save the person who is wrapped up or bound in that sin as well. It doesn't excuse the wrong that's done, but there's a bigger picture that God is giving mercy and justice to all of us.
You know, I don't know what wrongs the dying thief on the cross who cried out, Lord, remember me. I don't know what he'd stolen from people or how he'd done violence to them. And it would be easy to say, he doesn't deserve that, right? And the answer is, who of us deserves the mercy of God?
Exactly.
So who of us receives the mercy of God?
All of us
who are willing to receive it, right?
Yes, right.
Who say, Lord, would you save me?
Right. Yes,
It's available.
Now, if that's true, maybe we have the answer to a question, but I want to ask it because I've heard people say to me, well, Derek, maybe that's true for someone, but I've gone too far. Mm. I have gone beyond the grace of God. What would you say to Elisa?
I would say that Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Mm-hmm. And if anyone hears my voice, I will come in and dine with them.
The little piece that we left out. If anyone hears my voice and
opens the door.
That's the choice. Addison?
I would tell them that God's grace reaches lower than their worst mistakes.
Did you notice the emotion that hit me right there?
Yeah.
Why do you think that was? Was it not because God has been merciful to me?
Yes.
God, praise God.
And when I remember that He's been merciful to me, how can I not believe that He would be merciful to you? Right? Yeah. If you're still breathing.
Yes.
If you're still breathing. The message of mercy, we're talking about the least of these. Who could we classify as the least of these?
Anyone.
Someone who's done some hideous crime, something that we hate. And we think that's the worst thing any human being could ever do. Yeah. And the message is?
That's everybody.
Yeah.
That's us. You know what? We crucify Jesus, every single one of us, our sins.
Yep. Yeah.
And Jesus wants to save, create a clean heart in all of us.
Yes.
Lisa?
I remember a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, and, you know, many people would ask him questions like, show us the Father, you know, explain who he is and what is like. And Jesus gave him the story of the prodigal son, which demonstrates the heart of God. I mean, you have a person who deliberately breaks, you know, his covenant with his father, takes his inheritance and goes and does, you know, whatever he does with his inheritance, walks away from his father deliberately. And even in the midst of his situation, which is what you're talking about, so far from grace, physically, spiritually, emotionally, he knows in his heart that he can always come back to God, his father. And he comes and he doesn't even make it all the way to his house. His father has been waiting for his son just to turn back, and he runs out and wraps his robe of righteousness around his son and gives him his ring and says, you are my son. I don't care what you have done. You will always be my son. And to whoever...
And he forgives him.
And he forgives him and restores him. He doesn't make him feel bad. He doesn't blame him. He doesn't say, no, you need to fix yourself. He takes him as he is, and he'll never stop being his son.
Amen.
That's outrageous.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yes.
The mercy of God. Joshua?
There's a story in the Bible that's incredibly powerful that can relate to any of us, all of us. And it's the story of Hosea. You know, the reason why God would use that visual, that experience of him marrying a prostitute.
Hosea, by the way, was a prophet of God, right?
Yes. And God had him marry a prostitute. Why? Because the prostitute represented us constantly going against God and constantly rebelling and
wandering away.
Yes, spiritual adultery. And what's amazing is some people may look at the Bible and say, okay, well, the story of Paul murdering Christians, God forgave him and, you know, he was fine after that. Or David, when he went into Bathsheba and killed Uriah, you know, he was good after that. But when you look at the story of Hosea, this reflects, look, yes, even though you've fallen again and again and again and again, God still loves you.
Praise God.
And he wants to show mercy.
Yes.
If you're willing to accept it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If you're willing to accept it. Well, one of the things that we see in the Psalms is a recounting of the mercy and faithfulness of God. And one of the reasons I think we need to recount his faithfulness and mercy is so that the least of these, whoever they are, can overhear. I remember a young lady, she said, when I heard of the mercy of God, I thought, oh God, could you do that for me?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's look at some promises. Psalm 101, verse 1. We're talking about the importance of recounting the mercy and faithfulness of God. Gladys, Psalm 101, verse 1.
Yes, I'll be reading from the New International Version. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of your love and justice to you, Lord, I will sing praise.
So he's singing about the goodness of God. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. Jason, Psalm 92, 1 and 2.
I'll be reading here from the New King James Version. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night.
Amen. Good for who? Is it good for God when we praise Him and give Him thanks?
Sure. Good for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it brings joy to His heart. Is it good for us when we do that?
Yes.
Why? Why is it good for us? Yes, Trisha Lee?
It takes the focus off ourselves and our failures and lifts our eyes to the one who can solve our problems.
Okay, Addison?
I think by looking at what God has done for us in the past, it fortifies us to move forward.
Gives us courage.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it's good for God, brings joy to His heart. Mm-hmm. It's good for us because we take our eyes off of our failures. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, Stephanie?
It's good for those around us.
That's right.
Talk to me about that.
Well, you can't be praising God and be joyful. And as you recount the things that God has done for you, your whole countenance changed. You can't but shed that light to the people that are around.
Can you think of a story in the New Testament where giving thanks and praise to God changed the environment? It's not in your outline. It just came to me by the Spirit of God. But I think of a story.
Jesus in the carpenter shop.
Could be Jesus in the carpet shop. I don't know that story.
Maybe it's unwritten.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I don't know if he ever hit his thumb with the mallet, you know. I was thinking of one in the city of Philippi. Yeah. Anybody know that story?
The one about Peter?
It's actually one about Paul and Silas.
Yes.
Paul and Silas.
Oh, yes.
What's the story? Do you remember?
Yes.
They're in the prison.
They were in a prison, and what were they doing?
Singing.
They were recounting the faithfulness of God.
At midnight.
At midnight. They're singing praises and praying.
But it's important to remember that they were not just singing. They had been bitten. Their backs were stripped with blood. They had been, you know, really flogged. So it was not like, oh, nice, we're in prison, God will deliver.
Let's have a song
they were in pain. They were in pain, and they were still praising God.
Those other prisoners who'd seen these beaten men put into these chains, these shackles, then hearing them recounting the mercy and the faithfulness of God. What is it about these people?
Exactly.
So it wasn't just to bring joy to God's heart or even to encourage them. But it's doing something to the other people, isn't it, Lisa?
And even the jailer comes in and, you know, he's responsible for them and the chains come off in this story. And they have a wonderful moment where Paul, you know, preaches the gospel to him and the jailer, you know, receives Christ. So just by their testimony, someone receives Christ in their life. And even though he wasn't, you know, it wasn't his, you know, time to preach, but he took that moment to share the word of God to the jailer.
Sure. And the result, of course, is that they're saved, right? Yes. They accept the salvation offered through Jesus.
I think we all look for deliverance to come, but I think that there is an equal miracle, which is to be able to sing in the midst of having beatings and chains on you, to be able to sleep like Jesus did in the middle of a storm. Those are miracles that God can do for us, that even while we're waiting on deliverance and waiting for change, we don't feel clean necessarily, we don't feel like a new person right away. But to be able to genuinely praise God, that is a miracle taking place in us in the midst of trials and being down and feeling low. To be able to raise our voices and praise to God, that is a miracle in itself.
Does anybody have a testimony of that happening? Because it will inevitably affect others, right? It does bring joy to God's heart. But when we recount His mercy and His faithfulness, anyone have a testimony? Gladys?
Yes, as you know, I'm a teacher, and sometimes the biggest challenges come from parents and misunderstandings.
More than from the students.
More than from the students. Yeah, so there was a situation, you know, when I was accused, and it was not true. It was total fabrication of some malintention person. And I remember, I love when the Lord brings you a song into your mind. And I remember I sat down and I just started singing, I must tell Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when a song becomes your prayer. Mm-hmm. I just started crying, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear this burden alone. I must tell Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, and little by little, my students started joining in and we all started singing. And it was just like the problem didn't resolve that day. It took a couple of days, but that joy, it was just like everything was just fine for
me. The problem may not have resolved, but the miracle began.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Didn't it?
Yes.
That day.
That day.
Praise God.
Yes. I want to piggyback on that. One of the best lessons I learned as a child is keep a song in my heart.
Mm. Yes.
Now, even at the worst of moments, I have found myself just singing. I may not sing out loud, but in my head, there's a song almost always playing. You know, it often ends up being a hymn. But to me, it ends up, you know, it brings me back to, you know, it takes me from the problem that I'm dealing with at the moment and brings me back to a situation of prayer. Like, it's a prayer at that moment, and you're focusing not on your problem, but on the person who is able to take you away from that situation.
Yes. Amen.
There is another psalm I'd like us to look at, Psalm 117, which gives us two reasons why we should praise God. There are actually many more. In fact, I'm going to ask you for some. But Psalm 117, Laurel, it's a call to all of the peoples to praise God. And then it gives two reasons of many. Let's see if we can notice those.
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Praise the Lord, all nations, laud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And of course, that in Hebrew is the word
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah.
Praise Yahweh. Hallel means to praise Yahweh. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah
means praise the Lord. What were the two reasons there? His merciful kindness is
great.
And
truth
is endures
forever.
For all generations. Mm-hmm. So I'd like you to think about your life today. And why would I ask you to give this testimony? Well, could it bring joy to the heart of God? Mm-hmm. Yes. Could it encourage you?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But what else can it do?
Encourage.
It can encourage someone who's watching Hope Sabbath School today, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because we're talking about ways that we can minister to those in need. Mm-hmm. So your testimony of a reason God gave you to praise him could encourage someone else. So Amen. Someone share a testimony. Alex, a reason God gave you to praise him, and maybe we're praying that as you speak, someone would be encouraged.
Yeah, I mean, for 12, 13 years of my life, maybe even more than that, you know, I was living for myself and doing what I wanted to do. And when I cried out to him after all of that time, you know, he was patient waiting for me all those years. And after all that time, I reached a point when I cried out to him saying, Lord, I'm ready now. I just need your help. You know, pull me out of this situation. And he did, and in such a merciful and miraculous way, and just made me not even want to look back to my previous life. And it just gave me a reason to praise him for that every day, and just the patience and love that he has.
What did it take, just in case someone's watching and going, what did it take to motivate you to make that commitment to say, God, I need a change?
I was at a point in my life where I couldn't get out of the situation I was in myself. I was in a rut. I was living a life of sin. I was partying all the time, or just going out to clubs and things like that, and living a lifestyle that wasn't pleasing to God. And I couldn't change it by myself. And I tried to change it by myself, you know, and I'd maybe make it a little bit of time, and I'd fall right back into that situation again. And you know, I knew that the only answer at that point was God and Jesus. And I cried out to him. And I'll be honest, it was a scary prayer to pray. Because in my mind, all I could see was something bad happening from the people I was hanging out with, or maybe getting in major, serious trouble, maybe with the law or something like that. And I was even willing for that to happen if that's what God's plan was for me.
And how long ago was that?
It was 4.5 years ago.
Mm. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm sure it wasn't just a one-time thing. How How have you been able to stay focused on God rather than, I'm sure the enemy tries to pull you back.
He does, and you know, and I've fallen with other things since, but it's just a daily journey. It's a daily devotion to Him. It's a daily surrender to Him, just laying my life at His feet, laying my problems, my temptations, laying them at His feet daily.
Amen. Amen.
So if
Amen.
You're watching and you're Amen. Saying, well, I don't know exactly what Alex was dealing with, but I'm dealing with things that seem insurmountable, there is victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Calling out to Him. Someone else have a testimony of praise. Yes, Joshua.
Yeah. I mean, Alex, like our testimonies, I'm sure, are very similar. You know, God can transform your life in such a way where you don't even recognize who you used to be.
Wow.
Amen.
And if I were to go back in time and meet my former self and say, hey, you know, I'm who you're going to become, they would probably be shocked. Mm. Like you preach, like you study the Bible. Like, you know, I get it that, you know, we may have had some exposure to the church before, but like God has really transformed my life in every single way possible. Mm. And of course, I'm not a perfect man, but I'm very thankful for where He's brought me. And I really strive to help other young people like leave the kind of life that I was living, because it's really not worth it. And it's only by the grace of God that I didn't get caught up in, you know, deeper levels of the life that I was living before. Mm. So, you know, I'm very thankful to the Lord. And, you know, if there's anyone out there right now who they may be struggling with certain things, like they should really, you know, you guys should really know it's worth it to follow Jesus.
Praise God.
Amen.
Do you find yourself, I'm feeling the Spirit speaking to me as I'm listening, that we should be praying, God, give me an opportunity to share a word of praise today.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you've done for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's not just to bring joy to His heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could actually encourage me too, yeah, as I recount how He's led me. But what about the other people who need to hear that there is a possibility of a new beginning?
Mm-hmm.
So I have this question for us now. We know all of this, right? So why is it so easy to just forget and just kind of go on living life almost like secular people around us, collecting all the material things that they think are so important? Why is it so easy to forget what we're called to do as followers of Jesus, which is to minister to those around us, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually? Why is it so easy to forget? Jason?
I know for me, sometimes it can be easy to forget because God is blessing so much. And while that's a good thing, I can tend to appreciate His blessings in a way where it almost makes me think, oh, you know, I did this for myself, or, you know, maybe these blessings came from some other place, and I can often forget the source of those blessings, particularly if I'm not going through a difficult time. And so having these easy, nice times can make me forget about those difficult times, which is one reason why it's important to remember and to think back either where we were or where I could be, but for the blessings of God.
Sure. We're going to move on to the Proverbs. Most of the Proverbs were written by one of the children of David, namely
Solomon,
right? Didn't write all of them, but he wrote many of them. Mm-hmm. And there's much in the Proverbs that speaks about God's desire for mercy and justice. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at some of those together. Proverbs chapter 14. Addison, could you read verse 31 of Proverbs 14?
I'm reading from the King James Version. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor.
See the correlation between our relationship with God and how we care for people?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 3 and verse 3. Stephanie, Proverbs 3 and verse 3.
And the King James Version says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
Mm-hmm. Let not mercy and truth
forsake you.
Proverbs 21. Gladys, Proverbs 21 and verse 3. We're talking about mercy and justice, and we'll discover why this is such a strong theme in the Proverbs.
I'm reading from the New International Version. Proverbs 21, verse 3 says, "To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice."
And in the same chapter, if you'd read verse 21 of Proverbs 21.
21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor."
It sounds like there's a blessing that comes to us when we seek to show mercy and justice. One last verse, Laurel, in Proverbs 14 and verse 21 in this sequence about mercy and justice.
Okay. All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. "But he who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor."
Apparently, when we show mercy to those in need, whatever poverty they're experiencing, what happens for us?
We're blessed.
What did it say?
We're happy.
So there's a blessing that comes back to us when we show that. Look in Psalm 89, verse 14. It will help us to understand why mercy and justice are so important to God. Psalm 89 and verse 14. Jason?
Reading from the New King James Version, Psalm chapter 89, verse 14. "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face."
It's like, what would we say in simple English? It's the very
foundation.
Yes, the very foundation of who God is, right? Yes. So if that's true, think about the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus, of course, will call us as followers to follow him, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So think, where do you see mercy and justice revealed in the life and ministry of Jesus? There's a lot. Give me a few examples. Lisa?
I like the story of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And the, you know, the religious leaders caught this woman, brought her to Jesus and said, "Well, you know, Jesus, you know, don't you think such a person is fit to be stoned, as the law of Moses would say?" And Jesus was so clever, in which he just, you know, said, "He who, you know, is without sin, cast the first stone," because he knew their heart and they weren't speaking out of justice. They just wanted to condemn this woman, thinking they were better than her. But Jesus was like, "Well, you're no better than her. You know, your sin may not be public. It may not be known to everyone. But who are you to look down on this woman?" And he told the woman, "You know, your sins have been forgiven. Go and sin no more."
And that was in John chapter 8. By the way, there was only one person in the crowd who was eligible to throw the rocks. Who was that?
Jesus.
And what does he show?
Mercy.
He shows mercy. Mercy, doesn't he? Great illustration. The woman, John chapter 8, verses 2 to 11. Another story, Tricia Lee.
Think about Peter and how he denied Christ. And even, like, that's his friend. And when he needed him the most, he's cursing, "I don't know the man." And, I mean, that's a terrible thing to do as a friend of someone. But later on, Jesus spends time with him, letting him know that he accepts him. He welcomes him back. There's still a role for him to play in building his church. And I think that was merciful, because he could have easily just, "You can't be trusted. When I needed you the most, you denied me." But he showed him that, "I can trust you. I love you. I forgive you. And not only that, there's still work that you can do for me."
You know, I've often thought how two disciples denied Jesus, and one hanged himself, and the other one became a leader of the church. What was the difference?
Evelyn? One of them accepted the mercy of God.
And the other one?
They rejected it. He said, "I'm not worthy of it. No, this is the end."
Ended his life.
Yes.
So we're all in need of mercy, right?
Yes.
Stephanie?
I was thinking of the same story as Lisa, and I was thinking how God was merciful to both parties. He was merciful to the woman that was brought, and he was merciful to the men who brought her, because he could have fully revealed their sin, but he chose not to do that.
He wrote it in the sand.
Right. And I just feel like he was able to balance mercy. He came to save everybody, and he showed mercy to both parties at the same time. That's powerful.
Yes.
I want to do that. That's what I want, to be able to do that.
Another story of mercy in action in the ministry of Jesus, Jason.
The Canaanite woman who had faith, whose daughter was severely demon-possessed, and she asked, you know, Jesus to heal her daughter. And, of course, he went on to say that, you know, the dogs, you know, not to feed the bread to the dogs. And she persistently was like, please, you know, that even the little dogs get the crumbs off the table, you know. Right. So in that manner, she showed her faith. And she even started off by saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And he showed it to her.
And Jesus responds in the typical way of the Jewish leaders of that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she goes, that doesn't sound like Jesus, right? Right. I'm going to press on.
Yes.
I'm pressing on for
mercy.
Mercy. Right? Yeah.
Mercy.
Yes.
And of course, Jesus says, woman, great is your faith.
Faith. Yes. Amen.
And he heals her. So there are so many stories in the Gospels where we see the mercy of Jesus. I have one last question. We're talking about if mercy and justice matters, when should we as Christians get involved in seeking justice for the oppressed? Lisa?
Always.
Always?
Always.
What if it's dangerous?
Well,
what if it's dangerous to seek mercy for the oppressed?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, God has taken a risk in, you know, his son Jesus Christ to come on this earth and walk among us. I mean, if you think of all the dangers that surrounded Jesus' ministry, he could be paranoid and say, well, I'm not going here. I'm not associating with this person. I'm not going to talk to the sinners. But if he took that attitude, how many people would be cut off from the blessings in which God had put in his ministry to go through? And I think as Christians, we need to have the confidence that the Holy Spirit is with us. He will not send us somewhere where we're underprepared or unable to deal with. Now, that doesn't mean we go out of our way to look for danger, but we need to have that confidence. And I know that God will be with me. He will give me the strength, the courage to stand up and speak, and we don't need to be afraid at all.
And while Lisa was saying that, I thought of the promise which says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you.
Yeah.
He
Amen.
Will not leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
And if mercy and justice is the very foundation of his throne, surely he wants his mercy and his justice to be revealed through us, even to the least of these, ministering to people in need, not so they say, well, you're awesome. No, God is awesome.
Amen. Yes.
A God of mercy and justice. Let's pray we can be those kind of people for his honor and glory even today. Father in heaven, thank you for helping us to catch a glimpse through the Psalms and the Proverbs of what it means to let your mercy and justice be revealed, to reflect the beauty of your character. May it happen even in our lives today and in the coming days. We pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Well, I just feel like I want to be a better person for God, not to earn his favor, but to say, God, let your mercy and justice flow through me like a mighty river. Let's go out in Jesus' name. Be a blessing to those around us.